guess everybody has their favorites, but along with Psalms, Proverbs in the New Testament, Ephesians is one of my favorite passages. There's so many things there for us to learn and to understand about God's blessings and how good He's been to us and what all He's done. So in Ephesians, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses. I'll probably read just chapter 1. I don't know how far I'm going to read, but then we'll get started. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, everybody say saints, who are in Ephesus, and faithful, everybody say faithful, in Christ Jesus. Grace to you. That's God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor to you, and peace from God our Father. Thank you. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. If you're a Christian, say, bless me. He's blessed you, blessed me. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In case I don't get that far, I just want you to know it was God's good pleasure to give His Son for you. It was His good pleasure. Wow. Think about that. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Little children, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it's to the praise, verse 6, of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, His mercy, His goodness, which He made to abound toward us. He didn't just give it a little bit. He made it abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. First of all, we must go back to verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason He gave His Son, so that we might all find repentance. And not only did He give us repentance and redeem us, but He sent the Holy Spirit to convict us through the preaching of the Word and through His Spirit dealing with our spirit as we go through our lives. His Spirit deals with us and allows us to know that we are in need of His Son as our Lord and as our Savior. Thank God His Spirit deals with us. Amen. The Apostle Paul set himself up as an example. And I want to spend just a few minutes on him because he uses himself as an example in the New Testament, because he calls himself in the Bible, he calls himself the chief of sinners. He said there was no sinner greater than me. And if we look at his life for just a minute, he was a very, very religious man. He kept all the Ten Commandments to the best of his ability, and when he broke one of them, he kept the law. He was obedient to all the sacrifices. He went to the temple. He offered his sacrifices so he could be forgiven his sins and things that he committed. He was a perfect religious type of person. As a matter of fact, he was so perfect and so dedicated to God in his religion that when Jesus came along and declared himself to be the Son of God, he couldn't believe that and would not accept that, and actually began to go around to finding Christians in Jerusalem and all over that area of Israel. In fact, when he was on his way to Bethlehem, he had gained some papers and some letters and legal laws or legal authority from the religious leaders to go to Bethlehem and go all over, actually, and found anybody who was a believer in Christ to have them stoned and put to death or imprisoned and eventually killed. Anyone who was a Christian, he saw them as the enemy of God. And that's why he called himself the chief of sinners, because he killed God's children and persecuted unto death. He was on his way, as a matter of fact. And I don't know if he was riding a camel or horse or if he was riding anything, but by God, the Lord appeared to him and struck him, and he fell down dead or almost dead and blind and wondered what in the world had happened to him. And as soon as he fell, he realized God has struck me. What have I done? And so it was while he was on his face before God that he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Amen? Who are you? Another thing about Paul, he said that not only was he the greatest sinner, not only did he set himself up and say that if God can save me, he can save anybody. Amen? Because I don't think any of us have ever done exactly everything that he did. At least we haven't gone around killing his children, the believers. And he says, I'm apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, he was not one of the original 12 apostles. I believe that Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles, but also was demonized and devil-possessed, that God had already chosen Paul to be the apostle. And we could go into that, and I'm not going to go into that, but the point is that I want you to see here is if it was God's will to save Paul and change him, it's always God's will to save us. Anybody, anyone, because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So that brings us to the next part of verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So I don't know why you realize it or not, but I'm speaking to the saints here this morning. And if you're a Christian, you are a saint. Because saint means to be set apart. Saint means sanctified. It means to be set apart for the purpose of God. God loves you so much, he sets you apart for himself. Not just to be a servant or to be a slave or to be a minister. You're supposed to be you want to serve him if you realize what he's done for you. You want to do the same thing for him, but also so that you can be sanctified means, and to be justified. Sanctified means to be set apart. Justified, everything that he's given us through his salvation is sanctification, justification, redemption. All of those things, if you're a Christian, they're yours. And that's why Paul can call you and God can call you and I can call you a saint. Now, we may not look like it. We may not live like it. But that's who we are in Christ. When we're saved, the reason we're saved and how we're saved, and this is noted in Ephesians here a number of times, Paul's always saying, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Because that's where our salvation, that's where our sanctification, that's where where God's justice has been met for us. He took our sins in his body and died in our place on the cross so that we might be justified. And that word justified means not only just to be a saint, to be set apart for the Lord, but that means just as if I'd never sinned. Being in Christ, being born again by the Spirit of God means, as far as God is concerned, as he looks at you, that's all he sees. He sees you as in Christ. He sees you as justified. He sees you as a saint and as a believer and as one of his children. Now, I started to get on being blessed this morning. I don't know. I was going to... It's hard to stay away from that. If that's not being blessed, I don't know what being blessed is. Amen? That's being blessed. Now, that's not the only blessing, because he says God has blessed us. Let's look at this again, verse 1. Who, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I know that I have not been faithful. Even after I surrendered to preach, and said, God, take my life. I just want to be, I haven't been faithful. God is faithful. Amen. I thank God, God's faithfulness hadn't depended on my faithfulness. Are you with me? Because there's been ups and downs and there's been spiritual growth, and we all have to grow in the grace that is in the love and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to do that, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. So that's what growth is all about. Our faith grows. I have more faith now in God than I did when I first was saved. I had to have faith in God. I had to believe that whenever I came that day and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I needed something in my life. I didn't really understand what it was. I didn't really understand salvation. I'd been brought up in religion and in church. But when I came down to the altar and said, God, I just need whatever I've saved to say, I knew that something, because He put His Spirit within me at that time, I knew something had happened in my life. I didn't understand exactly what it all was, and I'm not sure I even understand even today what it all means. It's so amazing. Sometimes it's even very difficult to take in that God is going to love somebody like me, because I've been a bad boy. If my dad was alive, he could tell you, you know, I hope he wouldn't tell you too much. If my wife was alive, she could tell you a whole lot more. All of that, all of the blessings that we have are because He's placed us in Christ. He has placed us in Christ. Let's go to verse 2. So, He's saying grace, that is God's love, God's mercy, God's fullness of His love and mercy, and also God's peace. Look here, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So He wants you to understand that He has given you His love, His grace, and His peace. And you should have peace from God, which passes all understanding. Now that doesn't mean you may have peace all the time, but that means as far as God is concerned in your relationship with Him, He has given you peace, and you know within inside of you He has given you that peace and that love and that mercy. Amen? And you sense that. You should. Now, if you're backslidden, you probably don't. So get back right with the Lord. Amen? And you'll know His peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. I've gone through terrible things in my life, and sometimes I was worried and frustrated. I wasn't always perfect. I got worried and I said, "Where are you, Lord? What's going on?" And then other times I've been going through the same situation, circumstances, horrible things, sorrows and heartaches and loss of loved ones and what so on, and I've had that peace of God that passes all understanding. And when I've prayed, I've had Him answer my prayers, and that doubt and that fear and that worry, which is spiritual warfare, that's how the enemy attacks us in our minds. He tries to fill us with through the circumstances and situations of life that we'll all find ourselves in, because we're not exempt from those even when we become Christians, as you all know. Amen. But we will find that in those things, if we call upon the Lord, we will find that He gives us peace. I remember, I've always worked and pastored churches. When we started this church, I was working. I worked up until 60 some odd years old. I worked for construction companies and engineering companies and managed jobs and worked in refineries. And made good money. As a matter of fact, the year that the Lord worked on me a year, because I didn't want to depend on a church. the most I'd ever received much, well, unless they just gave me a love offering. And in fact, whenever I told them I was going to go full-time because the Lord wanted me to, they said, well, we can't afford to give you a salary. Yeah, I think we had like 12 or 13 deacons here at that time. And I said, I don't want a salary. They said, well, what do you want? I said, I'm going to live on love offerings. Whatever anybody wants to give me. And when I quit that job, and the Lord, as the Lord, he dealt with me for a year, saying to me, Lewis, I want you to go full time at that church. That's this church here, and I want you to go full time at that church, and I want you to be full time in the ministry. And I said, okay, Lord. So I started working. I was working hard. I was trying to. We owed credit cards. We had three cars. One of my daughters, we just bought her a car. She graduated. I was making over $100,000 a year back then. That was a long time ago. So I had she got married and gave us her car back. I bought her the car so she'd make payments on it. So I had three cars. Credit card bills, house to pay for, all of these things. The Lord said, quit your job. And I said, well, what am I going to live on? He said, well, you want to depend on me or you want to depend on the church? I said, Lord, I want to depend on you. He said, okay. So we went that much in debt and making that much money to making nothing. And I'm here to tell you that God has supplied my needs, my wife and I and our children. In fact, about six months after I went full-time for the ministry, we had people come by. During that process of time, we had people come by, say, God told me to come by our house, come up to the door, knock, say, God told me to give you this. That paid my water bill. Or my gas bill, or my electric bill, or somebody from the church gave me a check, and that's how we lived. About 6 or 7 months after that, God paid off all of my cars, my house, all of my credit cards. I didn't owe for anything. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. But you see, if I hadn't have stepped out on faith and did what he told me to do, I wouldn't have been blessed like that. And that's a wonderful blessing, but there's blessings that are more wonderful than that. We look back here, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, every spiritual blessing means that He loves us, He saved us, He's become our Heavenly Father. We can talk to Him just like we would our earthly father. In fact, we're His children. That's spiritual blessings. Amen. And we need to know that, and we need to understand that, because sometimes, you know, the enemy attacks us and says, well, who are you? Why would even God want to have anything to do with you? You just did this, or you just did that. You hate that person. You wanted to kill that person. And there was a person that I, even after I became a Christian and a minister, I was laying in bed at night because I didn't have any money to speak of. I had to go borrow money to go in because I had gotten ahead of the Lord and I wanted to go into a business. It was a Christian book business. You see all these racks in the stores when they first come out and put these books and all. I had wanted to get in that book business. It was going to cost me $5,000 and I had to go to the bank and borrow money, two finance companies to borrow money, and I had to borrow $5,000 to get into that business. And that business was going to pay for all of that. And I was going to get in it right away. And I'd already gone to HEB's. And they'd already told me you could put the racks in all of our stores. I was already set up. The man took my money, not only mine, but everybody that gave him $5,000 to get in that business. We never got any books. We never got into business. And he ended up in prison. But that didn't help us, because we still had to pay that back. And when I found that out about 90 days after, I was laying in bed at night at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was trying to think, how in the world can I get to Tulsa, Oklahoma so I could kill him? And if anybody got in my way, I'd kill them too. His cats, his dogs, burn his house down, whatever. I mean, I was upset, angry. I hated him. And here I am, the pastor of this church. Are you listening to me? And so I was laying, and it was eating me up. And I was laying there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord said, Lewis, get out of this bed and get on your knees and forgive that man. I wanted to cry. And here's what I told the Lord. And I didn't hear an audible voice. I've been used to hearing God's voice, you know, in my spirit, in my mind. You know what I'm talking about? Those of us that are Christians, we should know how to hear God's voice and when He speaks to us and puts His thoughts in our minds. We need to understand that. And that's, we grow in that too. But He spoke to me, and when I was in, get up and forget, get on your knees and forgive that man. I heard that in my spirit. And I said this. I didn't know I was going to share this story, but maybe it'll be good for somebody. I said, Lord, I'm going to get out of the bed and I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to say I forgive that man, and I'll call him by name. And I'm going to forgive him, but I want you to know right now, it's not coming from my heart. I don't want to do that. And I'm not forgiving him as far as my heart is concerned. But I'm going to do what you tell me to do. So I got out of my bed, got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I forgive. And I called the man's name. And instantly, I mean instantly, God's love come in me. His spirit filled me. And I literally prayed for that man and asked God to forgive him and to forgive me. Now, see, we're going to read on further on here, and I don't know if I'll get that far or not this morning, but that's blessed. That's the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now that does not mean, as someone have said and bothered a lot of people with their religious theology, that God had chose us before we even born, and we don't have a choice. We're either going to be saved or we're not. That's a lie. What it means here when He says God has saved us is that God has made provisions for us through the only way we can be saved. He has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that just simply means that Jesus said, as He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, as no man can come to the Father but by Me. That's what He's talking about. He's chosen us in Christ and has blessed us in spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Notice in verse 3, in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him. So God's plan from the very get-go before he even created the world, created mankind, was that he knew man was going to sin. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He knew that we were going to be separated from God, and he knew from the very beginning, for the Bible says, Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. God knew he was going to be crucified and take our place on the cross so that we could be saved in Christ. So that doesn't mean that God chose you outside of Christ or chose you and so you didn't have a choice in the matter. That means that God had chosen you to be in Christ before the foundation of the world, and we should, that we, how many we's we have here this morning? Can you say amen? We, those of us who put our faith and trust in Christ, should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that's who we are in Christ. We're holy and without blame before him in his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's our position in Christ. That's who we are. And we could go into Romans and a lot of places. That's not the only place this is speaking of. This is speaking, that is our standing before God. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. Verse 5, having predestinated us, that means predestination. See, some people take that and say, well, you've been predestinated and you can't be saved unless God has predestinated you. Well, a matter of the fact is, God has predestinated every person in the whole world the way this scripture says here, because he's saying you're predestinated, those of us that are going to be saved throughout the whole world, anytime from the beginning of the end of time to the end of time, is we're predestinated in Christ. That's the predestination. That's the only way we can be saved, in Christ. And so he's just saying he's predestinated us that are going to be saved, to be saved through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Now look at this. We're looking at verse 5. Having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, not our will. It is God's will. Listen, it is God's will that not anybody in this world should be lost. But it is also his will and his way, that the way he set it up, that we are to be predestinated in Christ. Therefore, he has made it a choice, and he's made it our choice. He's not going to force us to be saved or do anything we don't want to do. He's not going to. He wants us as a free will to choose his Son and his plan of salvation. And when we do, immediately we are saved, we become new creations in Christ Jesus, and that has pleased him. It pleases God that you're one of his children. Amen? It was his good pleasure to do that. according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's look at verse 6. I don't know how far I'm going to get. And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. Not our grace, not our goodness, not our good deeds. We, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, means that there's no way that we can earn, or nor do we deserve, the salvation of God. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. We can't keep the law. We can't keep join a church, we can't join a religion, we can't do good, all of these things that we can do, nothing can save us. There's only one way, there's one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The only way we can be saved is come the way, God's way, his way. So we haven't earned it, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. And so it's verse 6, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He, not us, not the church, not religion, not doctrine, not the law, He, God, through His Son, has made us acceptable in the Beloved. Amen? Everybody, boy, can you say amen to that? He's made us acceptable in the Beloved. He did it, not we didn't, He did. All we had to do is just come to Him and say, Lord, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And we don't make light of it. But I need You to save me. And He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you with me this morning? Now, boy, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. I get excited about this. Because this tells me where I stand in my relationship with God. And it tells me also that when I stumble and fall because I'm in a physical body and the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are kind of the old man, and He tells me us as Christians put off the old man, which is deceitful because of the corruption and the lust, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creation. God has created a new you. And that's what makes us Christians. Amen? And that new you, the new man that we are in Christ Jesus, is accepted in the Beloved, and we are blessed beyond the thought of we can't even believe how blessed we are. And the greatest blessing is that we have God as our Heavenly Father. Boy, the Jewish religious people in the days of Christ, they were just really absolutely blown away and frustrated. That's why Paul wanted to go kill all the Christians. They couldn't believe that you could be saved just putting your faith and trust in you. You had to keep the law. You had to be, if you're male, you had to be circumcised. You had to keep the law. You had to do this. You had to do that. You had to do a lot of things. When Jesus came, sent Him. Look at verse 7. Not only did He tell us that we are accepted in verse 6 in the Beloved, and I guess I'll close with this verse. Everybody say this, verse 7, in Him. Who? In Him. In Jesus. In Him. How did we get in Him? Where do we find Him so we can go get Him? We get, you know, did you get in Him when you come to this church? Or join a church? Or got a, no, and God put you in Him by His Holy Spirit. And you were born again and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We became new creation. Now look at this. In Him we have redemption. Now redemption means that we didn't buy ourselves and somebody else didn't buy us and the church didn't buy us and no mother and dad didn't buy. Redemption means to be bought, be purchased. And if you read the Bible, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took our sins in His body and He purchased us. He redeemed us through His death, burial, and resurrection. He paid our bill. Man. Now you understand why Ephesians is one of my favorite books. Now, how do we have redemption? Look at this. By joining the church or getting religion? No, in Him we have redemption through His blood. He had to shed His blood for you and for me. And the Bible said He shed His blood and died for the sins of the whole world. That's the good news, world. We have redemption through His blood. What does that mean? The forgiveness of sins. Doesn't say it just say they sin. It says sins, plural. That means any sins, every sin that we have had, or any sin, every sin that we're going to commit. Does that mean I can just go out and sin as I please? No, because that would mean you weren't saved in the first place. Because being a new Christian in Christ Jesus, you don't want to sin. Are you with me? You want to love the Lord and do what's right, even though you fail sometimes. But when we do fail, he said, and he tells us this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's speaking to Christian people, to believers, to those who have received Christ and have been redeemed. He's saying, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's after we're saved. He's talking to Christian people there. Amen. Can you listen? Are you hearing me? In him we have redemption through his blood, verse 7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he, that is God, made to abound toward us. He's made it abound towards us. It's not, he didn't just give it light. He gave it fully, completely, and all spiritual blessings were blessed towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. So you're understanding the mystery of his will right now. Why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, that is God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Amen? Now that's who we are. Praise God. Now, the Lord wanted me to preach that this morning because he wanted us to understand that the only thing that we can do to be saved and be born again and come to know God as our Heavenly Father and have our sins forgiven and be born again and become new creations is to become, get in Christ. And he's telling us if we come and confess our sins and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and put our trust in him that he died for our sins on the cross, that at that instant he will change us. We'll be born again, just like he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when we do that at that moment, at that instant, God changes us and we're entered the kingdom of God and we become God's children and God becomes our Heavenly Father because he places us in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you haven't done that, let's everybody stand. And it's a real simple thing if you mean it with all your heart. If you haven't done that, then why don't you just, you know, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and Mary's going to play something on the piano. We're going to come, and all I want you to do, if you haven't done that, all I want you to do is just come here and kneel and say to the Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and I want, or you can do that right there. You don't have to come here. I believe that God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my sins in his body and shed his blood so that I might be saved. And I'm calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm asking him to come into my life and save me and forgive me of all of my sins and make me one of his children, God's children, and enter me into God's family. And I'm saved in Jesus' name. If you haven't done that, do that, please. And if anybody wants to come and be prayed for, you come at this time. We'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, that I guess most everybody here has done this, and it's wonderful. And we just want to praise you and thank you, Father, for it. And we just express our appreciation and gratitude for your so great salvation, the gift of your precious Son, Jesus. As we sang this morning, we just stand in awe of you. It's just amazing that you could come. You even cried in the garden and prayed, had your people pray to have that cup passed from you, as we talked about here a couple of Sundays ago. Because you wasn't sure you could go through all of that for us. Thank you, Father, for your so great salvation, the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.